Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are continuing to look at some guidelines for church benevolence in 1 Timothy chapter 5, very important principles that need to be understood, and I'm afraid have been badly neglected in the day in which we live. And so we'll get right back into those in just a moment, but first of all, let me welcome you to the Beacon Broadcast on this Thursday, May 13, and let me extend my hearty thanks to those whose financial gifts enable us to remain on this station. Okay, what have we learned so far? Number one, we have learned that it is the church's responsibility to financially care for certain needy church members. Number two, we've learned that it is the church's responsibility to care only for those who truly qualify. And then the qualifications are laid out in the following verses. Third, we have learned that it is the family's responsibility to care for the needy. First, the immediate family, and second, the extended family. And only when there is no family should the church become responsible to care for those who are needy in its congregation. Now, how important is this family responsibility? Well, let's skip ahead to verse 8. We have looked at verses 3 and 4, and let me read those, and then we'll skip ahead to verse 8, but verse 3 and 4, and these are the verses that cover the principles that we've already looked at, but it says, honor widows who are really widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now skip ahead to verse 8 to learn how important it is that family take care of their own family members before they pass that responsibility on to somebody else. Verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Worse than an infidel is the way the old King James puts it. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Worse than an unbeliever. He's denied the faith. He's worse than an unbeliever. Now, boy, there's a lot of implications here. It is almost impossible for many 21st century Americans to believe that our actions, or lack thereof, how we behave, could have anything to do with what we believe. How dare anyone suggest that on the basis of this or that behavior, you are calling my Christian faith into question? How dare you do that? Read your Bible. The Bible does that, and here's an example of it. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he what? He has denied the faith, and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, people in this category would seldom admit that they have denied the faith, and would very seldom say, I have become an unbeliever. But that's what God says. That's what the Word of God says. And in this, as in every other area, what do we say? Let God be true. And every man a liar, that is, anybody who disagrees with what the Bible says, must be considered wrong. He's the one who is saying that which is not true, because God never lies. Whatever God says must always be considered true. And so this is the truth of God's word. If a Christian or someone who claims to be a Christian is not willing to financially care for his own relatives, he has denied the faith. He is worse than an unbeliever. You say, what does that mean, he's denied the faith? By his actions, he's canceled out his profession. He may profess to believe, but evidently he doesn't. He may profess to believe, but other Christians should not accept his profession. He may profess to believe, but he is not only as bad as an unbeliever, he's worse than an unbeliever. How could he be worse? Well, because he is an unbeliever while he claims to be a believer. Unbelievers, most unbelievers don't do that. Most unbelievers say, I don't believe. But here's somebody who says with his lips, I do believe, but by his actions, he says louder and more clearly, I don't believe, but he keeps insisting that he does. He's worse than an unbeliever. Now please note in verse 8, it says, if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household. We find this kind of language a number of times in Paul's epistles. There's something, but then there's an especially. There's two levels here. And what are the two levels? Well, if anyone does not provide for his own relatives, and especially for those of his own household. Household has to do with those who live in your house. We would call that your immediate family. In Bible days, that often tended to be more of what we would consider to be extended family, because we don't tend to have several generations all living in the same house, but that was pretty common in Bible days. In America today, it's pretty common for a husband and wife to have maybe two generations in their home until their children grow up and get married, and then they're gone. They don't live in the same household anymore. But, of course, sometimes, well, we won't go into all the extenuating circumstances. It's not all that common for a house to take in a parent, though that does happen, of course, and we all have examples of that. But when you have somebody who is in your household, living under your roof, that is unquestionably your responsibility financially, but your responsibility is not limited to that. This says it extends beyond that, extended family, and that has already been defined in verse 4. If any widow has children or grandchildren. So if you have parents or grandparents who live someplace else, that's still your responsibility. If anyone does not provide for his own, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do we understand that? We need to. I remember a number of years ago, I became aware of a situation where a widow was a member of a particular church, and there were some concerns about her financial needs and ongoing care. This particular widow had a number of children, a large number of children, several sons, several daughters, all of whom were married, all of whom were Christians, claimed to be, and most of whom were pastors and or other Christian workers involved in Christian service. I know, because of the pastor telling me this, I know that the report came back to him when the discussion was apparently, the family apparently got together for a discussion. What are we going to do? We need to address this need. And one or more of the family members said, well, where's the church? Where's our mother, our mother-in-law's church. They should be taking care of her. Now, because this question and this approach, this attitude was never directly addressed to the pastor, to the church, they didn't have an opportunity to respond. But how do you respond to that? Well, here are some people who claim to be Christians, but evidently they haven't read their Bible. It's not the church's responsibility first. It's the church's responsibility only last, as a last resort. But the responsibility is clearly that of the children. It's almost unbelievable that anyone who claims to be a Christian would say, well, it's not my responsibility to care for my aged parent. It's not my responsibility to care for my aging mother-in-law. That's the church's responsibility. Let them take care of it. That's their responsibility. Let me just reread what we've already seen here in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Honor widows who are widows, really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I tell you what, I would hate to be the one to say this is not our responsibility, this is the church's responsibility. Someone might think in their heart, I wish this were not my responsibility. I wish the church would take this responsibility away from me, though we should not do that. We should say, I would never, never think that the church ought to take this responsibility. Skip down to verse 16. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. Do not let the church be burdened. Don't put on the church a responsibility that belongs to you. That's dishonorable. That's unbelievable. That is irresponsible. That is taking the resources of the church and misusing them. That is taking them away from people who have a legitimate claim upon them. You're trying to make the church take over a claim which is not theirs. That's your responsibility. The church does not have a responsibility in this instance, and you're trying to transfer your responsibility to the church. Shame on you. Shame on you. And you claim to be a Christian? Shame on you. And you claim to be a preacher, a pastor, a Christian worker? Double shame on you. Triple shame on you. Take care of your own. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them. And do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. That is, destitute widows, because they don't have children or grandchildren who can take care of them. This is pretty serious stuff, isn't it? This is God's guidelines for church benevolence. These are God's guidelines for family responsibility. And we'll take it up again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.